You're listening to New World Order, Episode 7 of Season 13, 4042 of 2019. Everyone, my name is Klaatu. This is the New World Order. I have listener feedback. I have a discussion of ZFS and licensing issues. And I think that's it for today. It'll be a short episode. I say short, meaning, of course, that I'll ramble on for an hour. But I'm going to try to keep this short because I'm a busy person, as we all are. So first of all, let's do some listener feedback. This one's from Deep Geek again, and this one is about 2 episodes ago, so that's 13.5, wherein I believe I was talking about the licensing stuff, I think. Yeah, I think so. Because here's what he says. He says, sorry ZFS has taken over your show, but I wanted to mention that I don't run ZFS in the kernel. I run a Fuse implementation of it. I didn't do this for licensing reasons. I wanted to use a stock kernel. So that's pretty interesting. So I guess ZFS on Linux through Fuse maybe is something that would be optional even after this kernel kerfuffle, the licensing kerfuffle. I'm not sure. I don't know. I just don't have the kind of deep understanding of how all this code fits together sometimes, and this is one of those cases. It gets very complex. And I guess part of the uncertainty here is that there are these issues, but then there's the level of confidence that people have to either heed or ignore certain concerns. And that's where, you know, that it goes beyond being a gray area, and it becomes this kind of ethereal gray mist that you're just like, I don't even know, like, this could be true, this could be false. And either way, it seems that people are too nervous to sort of test a theory one way or the other. Ergo, it is going to be treated as if though it was true, even if, in fact, it wasn't completely necessary. That gets annoying. I think that's probably one of the most annoying things about all of this legal stuff, is where it starts to fall out of kind of like, okay, these are the rules we've set, and into the realm of, well, this is how we're going to interpret those, or this is how we're going to respond to those rules. But this brings up, sort of in a roundabout way, an interesting point. And I have heard from a couple of different people in response to the episode, the episode 5 or whatever it was, where I was talking about licensing issues, is that, you know, that it's not the job of the licensing model to sort of protect people from being taken advantage of. In less charitable terms, I guess you could just say, well, by definition, the GNU public license, GPL, is not as free as something like the BSD or the MIT license or the ZLib license or whatever. And I feel like, or the Apache license, I feel like that's objectively true, right? I mean, the GPL, if it places some number of restrictions on a target, then it is more restricted than a license that places some number that is less than the GPL number of restrictions on a target. And the BSD license in some, or even the MIT, like, if you read it, it's like a paragraph long, I think. I mean, maybe there's an extended version somewhere, but the thing that I keep reading is like a paragraph, and it basically says you have to credit the author, you know, or in their terms, you know, retain this copyright notice, essentially, is what it says. And that's it. Like, that's the restrictions. So, and that's great, and that's really neat. And as I've said, I don't feel like it's necessarily a bad thing. I quite like that. I'm a user of, I often use the GNU all permissive license, because I feel like that has the same effect as a BSD license, but it also gives a nod to the GNU organization, which isn't really, I mean, I don't really care about nodding to the GNU organization as such. It's just that I feel like being able to find the GNU organization is important for people, because a lot of people, myself included at one point in time, did not know such a thing existed, didn't know that the idea of free software, where free meaning liberated, even exists. So pointing people towards GNU and towards that manifesto, that GNU manifesto, where it spells everything out, I think is an important opportunity to that I don't want to pass up. Because that is, I mean, I think I've said before, the way I found all this stuff was I was messing around with Tetris in Emacs because I thought that was a really cool, technically elite thing to do. I thought that was super cool. Like, if I could be the guy playing Tetris in Emacs, then I'd look really cool. Plus, it was entertaining, right? I mean, that was, at the end of the day, I didn't want to pay attention to what the people were saying at the front of the room, and I wanted to play Tetris instead. So that was the way that I found Emacs. It is the way that I found, within Emacs, I found the GNU manifesto, and that was my introduction, really, into open source, or into the realization that you could, that there was a movement built up around this, that this was a thing that you could live in, rather than just some freebie software that you would download off the internet sometimes, and they would do useful things for you. So that's a good thing, and the GNU All Permissive License is a good thing. I quite like it. But is it free? Like, is the GPL, is it really free? And why not favor the BSD license? Because it is objectively a more free license, right? It is more liberating than something with more restrictions. That's just, as I say, you cannot argue that fact. And I think my concern really is that when we say that something is free, then, and I'm going to assume for the rest of this episode that when we say the word free, we're talking liberated, not $0, right? $0 does not come into this at all. Like, this is not that discussion at all. So free means liberated without restriction, right? So I think my independence, too, that's a good word. So I think my concern is that the degree of liberation and independence of our target being, you know, the user, like you and me, the level of liberation or independence that those people have may not be the same as the level of independence and liberation that other people have. It's kind of that old adage of, or the cliche maybe, of everyone's free, but some are freer than others, or whatever term you put any term in there that you want. But in this context, it's like everyone's got independence. Everyone's liberated. It's just some people are more liberated than others. By which I mean, a lot of times in the real world, especially in a corporate-driven sort of capitalistic world, there's this base assumption that, well, everyone is equal. Everyone's got the same rights as everyone else. Now, ignoring the fact that that's a very sort of nation-centric view, right, because it ignores that there are other places in the world where that does not exist, so that there's that problem, right? But we all only care about, like, sort of our city block and then the whole internet, right? That's our scope. It's like, I care about my city and everyone else in the world by way of the websites that I go to. That's kind of the modern state of mentality, I feel. So there are people out there who are using software, and they can leverage the open sourcedness of software, and it's great, it's fantastic, and everything works, and they're using licenses that they like, and they're protected by the licenses, or the licenses have basically no restrictions, so they can do whatever they want to, and so on. But in reality, I think I find what has happened, in my view, is that the people who have either a lot of money, like monetary power, or maybe a lot of influence in a certain space, they tend to be able to leverage open source or open source licensing and free software in a different way than other people who may not have as much monetary influence or influence in a certain sphere. I can give you an example. An interesting one just came up. I mean, there's the old one, which is, for instance, something like KHTML, right? I've talked about this that one on this show before, and part of that is that KHTML existed, and it sort of It belonged to its maintainer, right? And then Apple came along and took the KHTML code base and just walked away with it. Now, that is within their rights. That there's nothing, quote-unquote, protecting the maintainer against that. That's part of the deal. As long as the person who takes the code and walks away and then uses it and redistributes it does indeed provide the source code to that, to the thing that they've walked away with, because that's part of the GPL clause. That's part of the obligation. And so Apple did that. They took the code, they walked away with it, they essentially forked it. I mean, they made WebKit out of it, and they did. They provided the source code. So it has, they followed the license. So that's actually a success story of the GPL. And yet it doesn't quite sit right with a lot of people, because Apple is this big, big conglomerate, right? It's this big entity with lots of paid programmers. And so they took a project that was pretty far along, that had been driven by a couple of people, and then handed it over to the farm, the factory, and had a bunch of people hammer away at it and take it into a new direction. So there's, I'm not, by the way, I'm not making a moral judgment on this at this stage. I'm simply saying that because Apple had such power in one way or another, they were able to take code that had come very far along with just a few people and then push it into a completely different direction and make it into its own thing. Again, it's a success story of the GPL in one way, but it also kind of makes you think, well, that's a little bit interesting that Apple is able to do that, that they have the power to do that just simply based on who and what they are. Because if one person went to a big conglomerate that happened to be offering their code, and that one person took the code and walked away with it and published the source code and went into a different direction with it, it probably wouldn't take over the internet the way, for instance, WebKit did. Do you see what I'm saying? So there's just kind of a force. You could think of it almost in terms of physics, right? There's a certain gravitational pull that Apple has versus a gravitational pull that one person walking away with a copy of code has. Is that a bad thing? Is it an evil thing? No, it's just, it's physics, right? It's sort of nature. It is the way that things are. If you're bigger and more important, then people listen to you than if you're just one small person. Now, when that becomes problematic, on the other hand, are times when maybe licensing is being mistreated. So imagine that Apple had come along and taken a copy of the code and actually had not published sources for it. Do you think those couple of people would have been able to actually approach Apple and say, hey, you're violating our license? I mean, maybe they could have. Not by themselves, right? They would have had to go to legal counsel and they would have to get someone else involved, and they would probably have to pay legal fees. But then you could say, well, no, they wouldn't. There are so many great lawyers out there, like all three of them, that really fight for open source, and they would have done the work pro bono. Okay, well, someone else is paying for it, right? So now you've got this situation where people are donating money, possibly in this imaginary situation, to go up against this huge corporate wall with all the legal things on their side and trying to fight a pretend violation. I mean, in this pretend situation, it would be real, but I'm saying that this did not happen. I'm not trying to slander anyone. I'm just saying, if that had happened, what chance would the little guy have had against the big conglomerate that had decided to ignore a licensing term? And don't think that that hasn't happened. I mean, that's definitely happened before. It happens in the real world very frequently. Licenses are violated all the time. Now, we get to hear about the ones that get the free legal counsel or that have enough money to throw at the legal counsel. And we get to hear about those cases because those are big and exciting and those are actually moving. So as eager as we are to pretend like everything, that everything has balance and that the voice of one small person is just as important as the voice of a big conglomeration with a brand and billions of dollars to its name, it's just not the case. So if something is used even to the letter of the law, but clearly not in the spirit of it, then there's just no chance if the offender is the conglomerate and the person being taken advantage of or betrayed or abused or whatever term you want to use is just one or two or some small group of people with not a lot of money, then there's going to be that's not going to balance out. And you can pretend like there's a system there to make sure that never happens all you want, or you can be ruthless and say, well, that's just the way, that's the price of progress, that's, we live in a modern world where everything is, you know, all progress is being made by these conglomerate corporate interests, and that's just what it costs to have what we have, whatever we have. I mean, if you write code that then gets used in ways that you never could have imagined, then oh well, that's the price of living in the 21st century. That's fine. That's how you might feel. But I don't feel like, I don't think that even you, in that case, could say that there was balance there, because the idea still is that one force is definitely greater than the other. And again, that's nature. That's just the forces of, that's how things work, right? That's just the model. But if that's the model, then if the one way to counter the imbalance is a stupid sheet of paper that says, this license is really important, and in order to use this code, you have to do these things, then I feel like that's a good thing, because that's kind of, that's pushing a little bit of the weight in the letter of the law over to the person with fewer resources to defend their interests. Here's an example from real life that is happening like right now as of this recording. So there's a site called Pixabay, P-I-X-A-B-A-Y, I think. And Pixabay is one of those free photo sites. You know, you need a stock photography and you don't want to go pay for some stock photography from some company. You find it on Pixabay. You can grab, and I think they had graphics too. They had like you know, clip art and stuff like that. So they have videos, big site, lots of content, like millions and millions of photos and videos and clip arts. So they had published everything on that site under a CC zero license. You go to Pixabay, it's very clear. You can download and use whatever you find there in whatever way you see fit. It's a CC zero license, Creative Commons zero rights reserved license. So people contributed their content to Pixabay for months, years probably. I don't know how long it's been around. It's just kind of been there for a long time, at least 4 years. So they've been around. People have been contributing, and people upload their content, the content that they create, under a CC zero license, knowing that everyone else in the world who accesses that site will have a chance to find their content and use it under a CC zero license. At some point this year, 2019, it is not clear as to when this happened, actually, but at some point during the first 30 days of 2019, the Pixabay website showed that everything on the site was licensed under the Pixabay license. The Pixabay license, as you can imagine, is a homebrewed license. It's a bit of a variant on a Creative Commons license, I guess. And here's what it says generally. I don't want to read the whole thing, but it says, images and videos on Pixabay are made available under the Pixabay license on the following terms. Under the Pixabay license, you are granted an irrevocable, worldwide, non-exclusive, and royalty-free right to use, download, copy, modify, or adapt the images and videos for commercial or non-commercial purposes. Attribution of the photographer or Pixabay is not required, but is always appreciated. The Pixabay license, now that paragraph, dear listener, is pretty similar, really, to what you would expect from a CC0 license. That's pretty spot on. You can do whatever you want to with what you downloaded. No credit required. It's almost a public domain, right? It is an explicit license that no rights are being reserved. Now, it continues after that to say, the Pixabay license does not allow sale or distribution of images or videos as digital stock photos or as digital wallpapers. Okay, well, that's completely counter to CC0, right? It basically renders the above paragraph meaningless, right? Because now you cannot do commercial or not or commercial things with the images. I mean, some commercial things, but you can't sell them as images in themselves, and that's not what the CC0 says. Item B that you cannot do: sale or distribution of images or videos, e.g., as a poster, digital print, or physical product, without adding any additional elements or otherwise adding value. So this is obviously very fuzzy language. I don't exactly know what they mean by this. They say without adding any additional elements or otherwise adding value. What does adding value mean? I don't know. Following the letter of this license, I guess if I change the value of a single pixel in an image, then I can do this. I can sell it as a poster, a digital print, or a physical product. But apparently I still can't sell it as a digital stock photo or a digital wallpaper. And then C, it says, depiction of identifiable persons in an offensive, pornographic, obscene, immoral, defamatory, or libellous way. Once again, this is pretty fuzzy because identifiable persons, I mean, I guess so, if their face is in the shot, you can't use it for quote-unquote offensive material. I don't know what offensive material is. I'll tell you right now, dear listener, that I was at a technical conference this past month and was asked to change my t-shirt, because they found the contents of my t-shirt offensive. Too offensive for the technical conference. Now, you know me, I'm not super offensive, generally. I mean, I try not to be, but the shirt was offensive to them, and so they asked me to change my shirt before going to the conference. So, I mean, I could imagine a world in which I download something from Pixabay and use it in an offensive manner, maybe even immoral. Maybe defamatory. I'm not sure. It's really difficult to define these terms. And then item D, any suggestion that there is an endorsement of products and services by depicted persons, brands, and organizations unless permission was granted. And again, how can you define that? How can you determine whether something suggests endorsement? I mean, if I use an image from Pixabay on a blog, am I suggesting that they then endorse the blog, or am I just using a photo from Pixabay? I'm not really sure. So it's a bad license, but that's really secondary to the fact that it's a different license, right? So for years, Pixabay existed and had people uploading content to their website. And now without any kind of consultation or warning, they have changed the license. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of contributors had no idea that the license had changed. Why would you? If you'd been told when you started uploading stuff 3 years ago that you were contributing everything CC0, then surely that's just your default assumptions that the site is a CC0 license and that your content remains under the CC0 license. Now, you as the copyright holder have the power and the option to relicense the content. You can do that. You're allowed to do that as the copyright holder. Pixabay is not. You have not assigned copyright to Pixabay. They are not allowed to change the license out from under you, and yet that is exactly what Pixabay did. Now, Pixabay is by no means a huge conglomerate. I don't think they are anyway. I mean, they've obviously got enough revenue to stay online and that sort of thing. I guess they must probably have developers and probably a marketing team and so on, but compared to my previous example of, oh, look at how big and horrible Apple is and how wonderful and noble the lone developer is, Pixabay is not that, right? They're a group of people doing, maybe making some bad decisions in their legal department. Well, they probably don't have a legal department, that's probably the problem, but it isn't on that scale, and yet there is an imbalance there, right? Because there's this website and people have submitted their content to them, and now they have relicensed the content without permission of all of the contributors. They have relicensed everything, essentially. I mean, I think that if you probably asked them, they would admit that, well, yeah, if you had downloaded a photo under the CC0 license back when we had the CC0 license across our page, then yes, that remains CC0, because legally they're not allowed to do it. But how is that going to be fixed? I mean, it's an ongoing issue, right? So who knows how it will be fixed? Maybe some legal people will be involved. All I'm saying is that if you're a lone contributor to Pixabay, and you either don't know that the license has changed, or you know that it has, and now you don't know how to mitigate against this sudden change in policy, then you're kind of out of luck. Now, obviously, the licenses themselves have not protected anyone in any of these cases, right? I mean, both of the examples that I've given, both real-world examples that I've given, they end up in basically the same, they kind of result in the same outcome. And that is that the individuals who have been taken advantage of in some way, or use whatever term you want to use if you don't like that term, they essentially have no recourse. They're just one person, and unless they seek out legal counsel and score some free legal counsel, probably, or just decide to invest a lot of money into a case dedicated to giving something away for free, that they're probably not going to be able to actually leverage the power of their license. And I guess that maybe is my point, is that a license that has zero restrictions enables this kind of activity as a matter of law. It doesn't just enable it, but it grants it. It blesses it by saying, you really don't have to play nice at all. You can do whatever you want. And if you are bigger and badder than the person with the stuff that you want, then you can just take the stuff and that's fine. And I'm not okay with that. I'm just not. And you can throw whatever kind of social theory at me that you want, because I'm just not okay with it. And I don't believe that if a million people stop buying the products from Apple, or they stop going to the Pixabay website, I don't believe that that will cause those conglomerates to change their actions. Because those conglomerates have gotten bigger than a million people. They're big, maybe not Pixabay, but many things in this world are a lot bigger than the power of voting with your dollar or voting with your clicks or whatever. They're just too widespread at this point. And you, as an individual, are fighting against people who are literally ignorant of a situation. I don't mean ignorant in the insulting way. I mean, you wake up in the morning and you go to work and you didn't see the thing on the website where it said, oh my gosh, I'm outraged, look at this change in licensing policy or whatever. You're ignorant of it. You do not know that that's happened. So you cannot join in the mounting resistance to take back the rights of the individual people, right? Because you just don't know that that's even going on. So that happens. You're also up against people against the apologists who, as far as they are concerned, are fine with the people, with the conglomerates stomping over all of the assets of other people. That's fine. That's not a problem for them. They support that. They believe that the conglomerates are the reason we have a reasonably high quality of life. And so whatever they need to do to ensure our comfort is fair game. You're up against a lot. And while the license doesn't actually guarantee any kind of magical protection against abuse or misuse, at least it does not condone it. And for that reason, I think licenses are important. And I think that enforcing licenses is actually worthwhile. I don't mean going and suing everyone left and right because they didn't do this or they didn't do that. Although I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for when that does happen, to be honest, because generally speaking, these are companies that should have looked up license policies and requirements in advance. And if you're pushing Internet of Thing devices out and forgetting to publish your source code because you used this or that library, you're probably also the kind of company that you're probably not going to keep in mind 4 years from now that you need to update those devices with security fixes and so on. So yeah, I feel like following licenses is actually one of those things that if you're going to go into the business world, then you should probably be ready to follow licenses. That should be part of the setup, part of your setup to actually know licenses and know how to follow them. So it's not trivial that the Linux kernel, for instance, says you can't link to this library or whatever because you're not a GPL thing, and we cannot satisfy your license. You are CDDL. We are unable to comply with you, and you are unable to comply with us. So we cannot use each other's code. That's an important thing. And yeah, it's largely theoretical, but it only stays theoretical for as long as it doesn't affect you. And then one day, suddenly, it does affect you, and you wonder how it got to that point. This is how it gets to that point, by ignoring it. And I guess we can't do that. Not in this world. Not right now. Maybe someday, but not today. So that's everything I've got for you. I know it's lots of theory and philosophy and politics and stuff, which I usually tend to try to avoid. I prefer the technological aspect of things a lot more than I do about this. But people, you know, commented. People asked opinions, and so I'm providing. So thank you very much for listening. I will talk to you next week. Podcast. This has been Klaatu. You can reach me on IRC. I'm on the Freenode network, usually in channels such as Ogcast Planet, Slacker Media, Slackware, a couple of others. My nick on IRC is not Klaatu. You can also reach me lately on Mastodon. My username there is @klaatu@mastodon.xyz. Of course, you can email me at klaatu@member.fsf.org. That's klaatu@member.fsf, as in Free Software Foundation.org. And of course, you can visit my various websites, gnuworldorder.info and slackermedia.info. I will see you next time.
Military posture in the world to an aggressive military posture.
Mm-hmm.